The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, the scribe asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. Praise to you, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Surprise, I'm not Pastor David, and I'm not even Pastor Tony, who I imagine expected to preach today, and so it's really my privilege to be here on Pastor Tony's first day. He is a true blessing. You are so fortunate to have him as your interim pastor. Who knew when we planned this day months ago that I would now be working with Pastor David at the Synod office? So I look forward to that. I know you love him, know him and love him well. And so I feel very fortunate to know both Pastor Tony and Pastor David now. I'm Solveig Moos, and I bring you greetings today on behalf of Lutheran Advocacy Ministry in Arizona, Bishop Deborah Hutterer and the Grand Canyon Synod, and my own home congregation, the Mother Church of the Grand Canyon Synod, the oldest Lutheran church in Arizona, Grace Lutheran Church in downtown Phoenix. I thank you for inviting me to worship with you today. It's really been a joy. I had such a lovely first service and then kind of an education hour in between. I've learned that you are very much a warm and engaging and welcoming congregation, so I thank you. I feel welcome here. Between services, we talked a little bit about Lama. This is what we call Lama Kickoff Day. Right? So we've talked a little bit about that. If you missed it, I encourage you to go steal into the fellowship hall and take a look at the table that I have set up with a bunch of handouts. I've been encouraging people to sign up for our awesome newsletter. In case you don't get over there, I brought the sign-up sheet into where you were collecting for ELCA World Hunger. There's a little still table there, so I brought those sheets in for you so that you can't miss signing up for the amazing Lama newsletter, which I have heard is the best one in the ELCA. So there you go. There are many, many ways that you can use your voices and your talents and your passions for advocacy, for speaking out on behalf of your neighbor. And I would encourage you to avail yourself of those resources in whatever way, in whatever context Lama can serve you here. We want to do so. So think about that. Now, on to today's message. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, this Sunday's gospel was so important that it was in the lesson and the gospel today. Did you notice that? And it's on our banner out front, and it was in our hymns, and it was in our prayers. This is an extraordinary, most important verse, because it captures a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus in which he articulates the core of his ethical teaching in response to a question about the greatest commandment. Immediately prior to this in Mark, the Sadducees question Jesus about the resurrection, which they deny, by the way. Jesus affirms the resurrection, states that earthly institutions like marriage do not exist in the afterlife, emphasizes that God is the God of the living, and supports it with scriptural references. Then a scribe, recognizing the wisdom in Jesus' response, approaches him with an inquiry concerning the foremost, uber-allus commandment of them all. The question is not merely an academic exercise. It reflects a broader debate within Judaism about how to live faithfully according to God's will. When asked, Jesus quotes the Shema, the prayer that is central to Jewish identity, Shema Yisrael, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. He combines Deuteronomy 5 with Leviticus 19:18. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You don't ask much, Jesus. Sheesh! How are we supposed to follow that? How, pray tell, do we go about this exactly? When you say, follow me, you're a pretty tough act to follow. So, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that we want to be disciples of Jesus. Now what? Well, first, we must abide in his word. There's no other way. To be a follower of Jesus, the word made flesh, is to abide, to live in, to dwell in, to welcome, to make your home in his word. Next, commit completely, all in for Jesus. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Is there anything else, Jesus, that you want? This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He seems to be saying, when you follow me, you must understand that loving God that much comes first, always. He means that the process of coming to faith in Jesus Christ and growing in commitment to him throughout a lifetime, what we call discipleship, is everything. Then finally, love your neighbor. Set aside the pop psychology. You don't have to love yourself to love your neighbor, right? Of course, it helps to love yourself. But what Jesus means is that we must care for others as we care for ourselves. New Testament scholar Douglas Hare, I don't know if you know that name, when commenting on the parallel version of this scene in Matthew, writes, in an age when the word love is greatly abused, it is important to remember that the primary component of biblical love is not affection, but commitment. Warm feelings of gratitude may fill our consciousness as we consider all that God has done for us, but it is not warm feelings that Deuteronomy 6:5 demands of us, but rather stubborn, unwavering commitment. Similarly, to love our neighbor, including our enemies, does not mean that we must feel affection for them. To love the neighbor is to imitate God by taking their needs seriously. To love one's neighbor is to live in community with one another. Why? Because when we live in community, we recognize the needs of the poor, the elderly, the homeless, the homebound, the children, the other. Because we know them, we've broken bread with them, we've opened our hearts to them. We've shared our sorrows and joys together by the grace of God at the heart of practicing our faith. All in is an active care for our neighbors. Thanks in part to Martin Luther, our hero of last week, right? Lutherans embody the idea that we are called to love and serve our neighbor as Jesus did. I asked this earlier, how many remember our baptismal covenant? No. How many remember our affirmation of baptism at confirmation? Okay, I feared as much, and I'm going to repeat them for you. Right, here we go. The liturgy and affirmation for baptism describes the faith practices that grow out of our baptism. We are to, one, and those of you who heard this already, you could chime in with me on this. We are to, one, live among God's faithful people. Two, hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. Three, proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. Four, serve all people following the example of Jesus. And five, strive for justice and peace in all the earth. It's quite a commitment, but it kind of makes me, lump goes up into my throat when I think of what we sign on for as Lutherans. You may know that the ELCA has an extraordinary portfolio of social statements and messages that really are roadmaps to creating and living in community. For example, our social statement on church and society reads, "This church is committed to serve in response to God's love, to meet human needs, caring for the sick and the aged, advocating dignity, justice, and equity for all people, working for peace and reconciliation among nations, caring for the marginalized, embracing and welcoming racially and ethnically diverse populations, and standing in solidarity with the poor and oppressed, and committing itself to their needs." Wow. That's us, people. That is us. What's awesome about this and other ELCA treatises is that they call for action. As Lutherans, we get to be people of determination and conviction and action. It's our Lutheran brand. And speaking of our Lutheran brand, how proud am I to be a Lutheran right now? These are important times, and to be part of a faith community that is committed to defend human dignity, that stands with poor and powerless people, that advocates for justice and works for peace, that is a community I want to be part of. That's standing up and acting on behalf of our neighbors. Yes, my friends, you could say, I am proud to be a Lutheran. There's plenty of warts and ticks, God knows. But truly, I think we get it right in terms of being engaged in community. What's that covenant to live among God's faithful people? It is by following Jesus, by advocating for the common good, by striving for justice and loving and serving our neighbor that we live out the promise of our baptism. As followers of Jesus, we know there is no aspect of life in which God is not active, no place where God is not present. And this is exactly where we are called to participate in God's work, in the thick of life, embracing individuals and families and communities that are hungry, not just for food, but for hope and healing and for justice and peace. Part of the shock of this passage was the agreement between Jesus and the star of the show and Mark's leading protagonist and the Jerusalem scribe, a member of Jesus' leading group of arch enemies. The scribes were intimately involved in the conspiracy to kill Jesus. But in this moment of harmony, it's extraordinary, and we should sit up and take notice. Matthew's parallel story refused to portray Mark's story without adding in that this scribe arrived to test Jesus. The scribe wasn't really interested in arriving at common ground, but Mark's account depicted this Jerusalemite as a sincere scribe, and Jesus and the scribe agreed. It's pretty extraordinary. Stories like this one, rare as they are within the Christian canon, must drive us to become more willing to open up to one another, including the faithful people within our own religious tradition and those without. With Jesus, at the least, may we be able to admit that these people of faith are also not far from the kingdom? Can we go beyond Jesus and discover in our fellow companions of faith people who are in the kingdom? That is, they too have religious commitments that allow them to share in God's love for the world. For many of us in the contemporary world, love for our neighbor coincides with a respect of our neighbor's belief system or lack thereof. By this respect for our neighbor, we carry out the mission of human dignity, which in turn represents a love for the God of Jesus. Martin Luther himself set us upon this path. He said it profoundly and simply in Freedom of a Christian from 1520. He writes, "Therefore, we should be guided in all our works by this one thought alone, that we may serve and benefit others in everything that is done, having nothing before our eyes except the need and advantage of the neighbor." Well, this neighbor love stuff isn't always easy, is it? Rather, like being a disciple of Jesus, it takes a lifetime to get it right. It takes commitment, it takes practice. What do you say we practice loving and serving our neighbor like Jesus did until we normalize it, until it becomes easy, until all of us are doing it? Let's live out our baptismal covenant to live among God's faithful people in community, with love, in peace. Oh, God doesn't want much. God just wants your heart, your inner character, and your decision making. God just wants your caring, your character, your creativity, and your carry through. By no coincidence, that is just what God gives to us. Strengthened by God's giving God's heart to us, we can give our hearts to our neighbors. Amen.